Now I would like to ask Ian Roderick, director of the Schumacher Institute and also the director and manager of the whole Convert project, to introduce the Convert project to us.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, say a very big thank you to His Worship the Mayor for that wonderful introduction to the day. And actually say thank you very much for the sort of wonderful place called Godelow. It's actually delightful to be here. As I travel around the world in different places, I always think to myself, do I feel at home here? Is this a place I could just live easily? And the answer is yes, here. I felt that almost immediately. And I think it's also wonderful to see the engagement that's actually happening as a community in some of the issues we're dealing with. So thank you very much indeed, and for the hospitality here. And I also say thank you for the palace over there, which is a wonderful experience to go around. My name's Ian Roderick, director of the Schumacher Institute, and as Christoph says, I'm sort of coordinator for this project. And my task here in this slot is to tell you roughly what this project is about. And what we're trying to do. So it's basically equity within limits. I'd like to say a welcome to you all here for coming and helping us with this project, because we are in the third day of a workshop, a team meeting, to actually progress the project, which is now in its third year and has one more year to go. So welcome and thank you. It is a European FP7 project, and its name is Converge. And the answer why it's called that will become clear in a minute. The question is where and how did this all start? Strangely enough, it didn't start from a research recommendation from a previous project, which sometimes projects do start like that. Its origins, strangely enough, can be traced back to the idea of contraction and convergence developed by a chap called Orby Mayer, who published a little booklet about this back in the year 2000. I'm very pleased to say that the Schumacher Society actually was a publisher for this book. We do a series of briefings around different topics. And this has had quite a phenomenal effect in many ways to actually focus people on the idea of limits and equity at the same time. I tried to find a picture which might show what contraction and convergence might be about, and this is probably the best one I've come up with. At the end of the day, that's probably what the human population will look like. We'll all be fighting for a little bit of space on an iceberg that's sinking into the sea. There's a doom and gloom aspect to some of this stuff. But let's park that and say we've got to get on and sort this out and do things and continue to make homes like Godelow that we are happy to live in. Contraction convergence is very much around climate change issues around carbon dioxide, greenhouse gas emissions, and it's a very simple concept when you get down to it. It essentially says that there is a sort of a limit across the whole planet that is an acceptable level for the planet for human beings to emit emissions into the atmosphere. And what we've got to work towards is a way of getting down to that limit for everybody equally. So it's done on a national basis, so we look at certain countries in the world at the moment with an emission level of way up into sort of 25 tonnes per person, way down to other parts of the world where we have very low levels of emission because of lifestyle, way below the carrying capacity of the planet. The idea of contraction and convergence is over time is to get down to the same level for everybody by nation. That's a principle, that's a concept. So we're dealing with a planetary boundary, which is climate change with this, and that actually is quite easy to do because of one thing, is that if I save a tonne of carbon emission here in Godelow, that's exactly the same as saving a tonne of carbon emission in India or anywhere else in the world. It's fungible, it's a technical term for that, it doesn't matter where it is, it happens. And that makes actually thinking about contraction and convergence quite easy for climate change. But another stream for where this project started off is the village in which I live, which is a little village of 1,200 people, so it is small, 1,200 people just south of Bristol, which is in the southwest of the UK. It's a fairly nice, wealthy village. So the population don't actually come across some of the social stresses and problems that other communities do. But nevertheless, it was a place where a project started up called Go Zero, which was to actually look at the issues we're faced with and see what we might be able to do about it. It all started by having conversations in a coffee house. The result of that was the idea that we need to build a society that has zero waste, but also one that has no detrimental impact on the planet, and one where we converge with other communities in equity and justice. These came out of discussions with the citizens of that little village. Go Zero, there's a picture. I always put this picture up just to show that actually when you get a lot of people together in a room to talk about issues like this, you don't always get agreement. This was a local food meeting, and there's one person storming out in a huff, and then two other people having a little bit of a ding-dong about some local issue. Actually, funnily enough, it resolves issues to do this. It's quite amazing how much you build a little bit of cohesion in a community by getting people to talk to each other. That is our little bit, one of our halls in the village. It's 500 years old, so we've got a lot of sustainability in this village. This project actually breaks down, and you can start to see that there's levels of engagement. And the first one is obviously individual actions, what a community can actually do as individuals within that. Things like obviously changing the light bulbs and not using plastic bags, etc. We move up a level and you start to see what the community as a whole can start to do. And that needs organisation, it needs people coming together to do it. And you start to build community resilience that way. Microgeneration, the village itself can ban plastic bags and things like this. These are actions collectively. But it also moved on very much in this little initiative towards thinking about how we connect to other communities and how we actually have some kind of global context in which to place our actions. We're not looking just to become a self-sufficient island. We actually attained fair trade status as a village, which was quite an achievement really for a small community to do. That group, because we've split into groups to handle all these issues, one group was called the Converging World Group. And I have no idea where actually that first came from, that word, Converging World, but that's what we called it. And we did things like get the fair trade status for the village. We raised a lot of awareness around our impact when we travel. And we also formed a link, and I'm very pleased to say formed a great link with an organisation, an NGO in India, called Social Change and Development. And Charles is there. So Charles is now part of our team on this project from Social Change and Development. And you see how the story starts to build up. Now, Go Zero and its Converging World Group started to think, well, what on earth can we do and how can we develop further? And our links with SCAD identified sort of needs and issues that we could work with. That actually started to become a bigger thing than the village could handle. And so within Bristol itself, the city of about 400,000 people, within that we started to think further about how we could engage and link with social change and development. And we formed a charity called the Converging World. And the idea of that charity is to raise money, as charities do, to get the resources together and to install renewable energy in India in the form of wind turbines, it is a plentiful site and it's a very perfect part of the world to do this. the revenue streams from the electricity from that flow into more turbines, flow into local action both in India and back in the UK in this case. So there was a way that we could actually start to address these issues directly. We're reducing carbon emissions straight away, but we're actually using that process to connect and link communities in order to basically do the issues, just tackle the issues that are so pressing at the moment. Now, that process led on to writing another one of these little briefings called The Converging World, which is where I sort of came in and started to think more from an academic point of view. I'd just like to say I'm not an academic, I'm actually a businessman, an ex-businessman. I'm never quite sure what ex-businessman really means, because I never stop being a businessman. I've moved into an academic field, and I'm very pleased for the people that are in there. They're delightful. Converging World book, but I looked at this, and my background is systems thinking. So I've got a little bit of that in there. Now, that's where I bumped into, within Bristol, the University of Bristol, and which is where I came into contact with Vala, who's going to talk next, about setting the scene for some of this stuff. And Vala looked at this, and she was, I think, very enthusiastic, and said, why don't we take this idea and see if it fits into one of the calls for proposals from the EU to do research on this. And one of the calls was a rethinking globalization in the light of sustainable development. So we thought, right, well, actually, as Vala thought, why do we put in a bit saying rethinking globalization in the light of contraction and convergence? And that how the project Converge started off. And we were blessed with some colleagues who put in a huge amount of effort to actually produce what the EU requires for research proposal. I couldn't have done that. We got it. I'm not quite sure how and why, but there you go. So the proposal for the project became Rethinking Globalization, the Light of Contraction and Convergence. And it is about how do we allocate today resources so that we basically have an indefinite future. It's a four-year project, and we have eight partners. I'll quickly go through those. Obviously, Shumak Institute and the University of Bristol, but then just before the project started, the University of Iceland became the partner and was basically there to sort of take over the work, mostly because Vala moved to Iceland, back to Iceland, I should say. So we had Shumak Institute, University of Bristol, University of Iceland, and our other partners were in Sweden, the Natural Step International with the University of Lund. In Hungary here, we have the University of István and Green Dependent Institute. And we have SCAD in India as well. So there was a very lovely balance between different countries, different sizes, different populations, and different forms of community engagement. The fundamental question is, can we extend the idea of contraction and convergence to other complex global issues? So CGIs, as I call them nowadays. Contraction convergence is a limited approach. It works, as I said before, because of this fungibility concept. If you want to extend it to other planetary boundaries issues, you run into a huge number of difficulties. Right? It's the lack of globality about it is there. So how do we cope with the messiness and complexity that we basically see in the vast web of dependencies in which we live? I think that sort of stumps you for a while. It becomes difficult to actually think it through. And the sort of way forward that emerges is that we actually have to look at outcomes, looking at various amounts of materials and energy that is appropriate at the local context to provide a level and quality of life that is equal and is therefore something we can converge towards. We try, like many problems, we have words. We have sustainability, which is probably, I think somebody counted 120 different definitions of sustainability. I think there are certain words you can't define. They become things that you know when you see. And I think convergence is probably one of those words that's going to be in that category. This is the sort of definitions we come up with. A quality of services to people across and within nations constrained by the limits of the planet. We're trying to develop a unifying framework for everything from non-renewables right the way through to culture. Now, these are issues we're not actually going to address necessarily at the same level of depth everywhere, but they are things that we do have to take into account everywhere because of the inherent interconnectedness of everything. And that's one of the biggest problems in systems thinking, is how do you cope with everything? One of the diagrams we use to help explain this is, we call it the quadrant model. We actually look down in that left-hand corner and we see that this is where most of human activity seems to reside at the moment, where we are living with increasing levels of inequality and increasing use of resources. It's the place, the space of inequality and profligacy. And I think we can all see, think of many, many examples of that actually, that is the way the world is going. We see activity that's trying to move us out of that and push us into directions which are increasing equality, and then in an orthogonal right angle direction we can see people working on moving us towards living and working within limits of what we have in terms of the planet and resources. The ideal is obviously the top right hand corner, where we live in a space of equality and frugality. That's another one of these difficult words. What do we mean by being frugal? Being fruitful, actually, the origin of that word. So let's just remember that it doesn't mean something necessarily negative. Frugality is actually where we want to be. So that top left-hand corner is the place to get to. We're looking at the transitional processes that might get us there. Some respect, the idea of coupling comes in, where we have maybe an existing program that's working on reducing our impact on the planet, taking no account of, particularly no account of, the inequality of issues. I'm sure they're sympathetic to them, but not necessarily working towards them. We have another program that's doing the opposite direction, in a sense, or the orthogonal direction, working on equity issues. The real question is, can we link those two together? And together they move into that top right-hand quadrant, where we see the real issue is to converge on where we want to go, both in terms of limits and with equality and equity. So getting into the project itself, as brief as I can on this one, we are trying to explore and test the concept of convergence. We want to see how existing policies support convergence. So we're looking around the world and see what people are doing now, and can we identify convergence there? We're trying to test convergence, particularly with local stakeholders. Find out, does this make sense? We want to see how community engagement with convergence might work. All right, so it's the engagement process is important. We're collecting and analysing case studies of convergence, and this is the focus of today in particular, is looking at initiatives that exemplify these ideas. We're taking on interdisciplinarity, so we're performing an interdisciplinary review all the time for this project, but that is a very important component of it, is to see how we are taking account of all different ways and perspectives of treating these issues. And of course, we hope to produce some framework out of this that can be useful in many contexts. And of course, like all research projects, we recommend not just what we recommend in terms of changes around or thinking, but also recommendations for further research. And some of the research questions, I won't go through these now, but the one I've just picked out in red, which is pertinent for today, is really, can the many movements for sustainable communities and individual actions be framed in the context of convergence for whole system change? Okay, so that's very much the focus for today. I'm going to stop at that point and say our little strap line is equity within limits, and at which point I'd like to introduce Vala, who will now talk more about the context and setting the scene and following on from that. So, thank you.